From Edge Radio 99.3 FM, this is an edit of The Dice Men Cometh, the podcast.
The Dice Men Cometh!
I love this hobby of ours, because it can be combined so easily with other hobbies. Let me elaborate. Two of my favourite hobbies, gaming, and we'll see if you can work out the other one is. Because...
Okay.
I love Castles of Burgundy.
Mm-hmm.
I love Tavern Fame. I love Brew Crafters in its print and play version, Homebrew Crafters. 10 Pints in Africa. Shadows over Cabernet.
Oh, God.
And Star Wars Imperial Reserve.
I think you've just put the ooh in Rich's brew. And you do wine a lot.
Oh, Garth, it's so good to see you back here on The Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio with Mark and Garth for episode 84 on Thursday, the 10th of September. I'm Mark.
I'm Garth.
And Garth, what is coming up on the show today?
Well, we have got a What We've Been Playing extravaganza this week, because we are going to not talk about one, not two, but three games. And what they all share in common is that they are... either just released or about to be released to all the backers through Kickstarter. So it's a really cool little conversation we're going to have. Of course,
fantastic.
It'll be insightful and intelligent and hilarious. We're going to do a little bit of a recap on all the gaming news from Gen Con, which happened at the end of July, early August, but I've just spent hours and hours searching again through the internet space to give you a bit of news on that.
Well, so much happened in that. It is now, in terms of people, it's the second biggest convention, but so much happens there that's... I don't want to say more interesting than what happens in Essen, but probably to us here, a lot of the games are more relevant.
Yeah, that's fair enough too. And obviously it only happened about a month ago. We've got Essen, who is in about a month's time, so we're nicely in the middle of that. And then we're going to talk about one of your most seminal years in gaming.
Yes.
We're going to crack open that vintage from 2005.
Oh, vintage. I love a good vintage. Well, let's come back and talk about that stuff soon. But before we do, because I am getting on the older side... let's hear from the Old Crow Medicine Band.
Yeehaw!
Lovely piece of work by the Old Crow Medicine Band. That is Wagon Wheel. You're with the Edge Radio. 99.3 FM with the Dice Men Cometh. With Garth and Mark. And Garth, we've been playing a few games.
Have we ever? We have been playing so many games, it is not funny. Although we're going to try and make it a bit funny, aren't we? So do you want to kick us off, Mark? Because this is one that you backed, you love, you are all over.
Yeah, look, I'm a huge fan of a guy who draws comics on the internet. They call him The Oatmeal. His real name is Matthew Inman. And he's had some really huge cartoon campaigns where he's raised lots of money, made lots of fuss, made people look stupid. He's hilarious, but he joined in with a couple of guys, Elan Lee and Shane Small, to fund a little game called Exploding Kittens. Because really, who doesn't love cats on the internet?
Clearly, everybody.
And cats that explode, that's even more fun. So this game, just to tell you a little bit about it, was the number one most backed game in Kickstarter history.
Now this had 219,382 backers.
So it's also the number one campaign with the most backers in Kickstarter history. So as well as being the game that funded, that raised the most money, it had the most backers of any Kickstarter campaign. Not just games, but any campaign. In terms of doubles, it had more, in terms of backers, it had more than double of the next highest game, which I think was one of the zombie side games.
Yeah, it had about 20,000. So it just absolutely obliterated it.
So for those of you who have been living in a closet and don't know anything about it, it's a card game for 2 to 5 players. And it's a very simple game, let's say. It's lots of fun. Obviously, it builds on the oatmeal art, which is very cutesy. You could call it a hand management game. That's probably being a bit generous.
I think so.
I'll tell you how it works. So basically, you have a number of cards that are called exploding kittens. If you get an exploding kitten card and you can't play a diffuse card, then you blow up and you're out of the game. And what happens is you start the game with a diffuse card and with 4 other random cards. There's one less exploding kitten in the deck than there is players.
Yep.
And you play one or more cards, or you can play any number of cards, including 0 cards. And then at the end of your turn, You draw a card. So unlike most card games where you draw at the start of your turn, you draw at the end of your turn. And obviously, the danger of that is, you finish your turn, you draw a card. If it's exploding kitten, boom, you're gone. Unless you can defuse it. No, that was me, not you. I'm talking too loud. Sorry, people. Burst your eardrums. So now, that's about it.
Pretty much.
Now, look, there's fantastic art in this game, as I said. You have some cards. You have a card I quite like, the Nope card. Nope, which basically cancels the card that the previous person plays. You've got cards that you can play that look at the deck and see the next few cards that are coming. Now, the interesting thing about... Well, it's a little bit interesting. about the exploding kitten card is when you draw it and you can defuse it, you then get to put that exploding kitten back into the deck. And you can put it anywhere you like. So you can even put it on top of the deck, second card down, however you like, to plant a booby trap, if you like, for one of the other players. So there are also cards that let you shuffle the deck. There are cards that have no writing on them at all and just nice pictures. If you get a pair of those cards, you get to steal a card from someone else. There's a couple of optional rules where if you get three of the same card, you can tell the person what card it is you want to steal. And if they have it, they have to give it to you. So obviously great for stealing a defuse. There's another optional rule. If you get five cards all different, you can do something. I don't know.
I think you're really making this sound a little bit more in-depth than it actually is, Mark.
Look, I think I love the art.
Yeah, and look, I have to say...
Have I said I love the art?
You've said you love the art. But look, the joy of this game, of which there isn't much... is looking at the cards and reading whatever it says on the card because it's a little bit funny.
And there's two versions.
Yeah.
So it comes with, you could get double your Kickstarter fund. So you could get the normal deck and the not safe for work deck, which has some rude stuff in it.
Now, this is pretty stupid. I mean, the level of rudeness was a cartoon cat in a bikini.
Yeah, it's not really rude. It's funny, and, you know, look, the first couple of times I've read these cards, I've had a good laugh. I absolutely love the art. Have I said that? And, look, they even went to so much trouble. I mean, they raised so much money with this game, almost $9 million, that it has this beautiful box that has a magnetic latch and everything like that. You open it up. I mean, it's so overdone, it's not funny. You open up the box. It's like those birthday cards where you open it up, it makes a sound. This one, of course, it has a... Oh, spoiler alert. It has a cat meowing when you open the box, which is so cute.
Yeah, and it's a nice surprise the very first time. But it doesn't give you any indication of how boring the next 10 to 15 to 20 minutes is going to be because it is not a fun game.
No, look, I don't know if it does overstay its welcome as long as you don't try too hard not to lose the game.
Well,
because
let me tell you, my problem with the game is not with the first 5 minutes or the last 2 minutes, but it's that in the middle time, which can go from 10 minutes to 20 minutes, where pretty much all you're doing, because there are so few cards, is for the vast majority, you're just saying, I've got no cards, and you're drawing.
Yes.
And that's it, because you've either got a very limited supply of Nope cards, you've got a very limited supply of cards that are going to stuff around other players. Mm-hmm. Trying to get a pair... Now, I don't know whether we played this wrong the last time, but we shuffled in the normal deck and the NSFW deck, and it was just trying to get a pair was just ridiculous. It just wasn't happening.
I mean, we did put in double the number of exploding kittens cards and double the number of diffuse cards because the deck was twice as big. But you're right, because there are different pairs in the normal deck and in the not safe for work deck, it means getting a pair is actually really difficult.
Mm.
In that deck, you know, the Taco Cat or the
vomiting... Which is Taco Cat backwards, by the way.
That's right.
Yeah.
Or the vomiting... No, the unicorn enchilada.
Yeah.
Look, it's really funny. What I'd love to do, if I had a lot of money, what I'd love to do is actually go and get... Make a collage of the cards and
get it all
framed.
Yeah, I think that'd be a much better use of the $35 you spent back in this game so that you don't have to play it again. I mean, I think we've tried it. I can't see who it's going to appeal to unless you're purely into the art. Because it's not fun. There's so many better ways to spend half an hour of my life.
I think if you've never played it before and you're not really into heavy games, it could be the beginning of a night game once.
Would this get anyone into gaming, though?
No.
I mean, there are 200,000 people who have now got this game. Surely a fair percentage of those are not gamers. Are they going to go, is that what the hobby's about?
Hey, but I love the art.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
All I can say.
Okay, let's talk about something else.
Yeah, yeah. So what do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about El Luchador Fantástico Grande.
Oh, you stole my best line.
Oh, sorry, Mark. Do you want to do it?
No, it's no? Okay. I've done it plenty of times.
So this is another Kickstarter that has been delivered out to backers. This is an Australian-based Kickstarter by our mate Al Keynes from Senyak Games.
Hello, Al.
Now, a little bit of a question mark. Question mark.
Yes.
Do you know where Al got the name Senyak Games from?
I do. Are you going to tell me anyway, Gar?
So it's Keynes backwards.
Oh, of course it
look
is.
Look at that. Isn't that hilarious? Yeah. I only figured that out yesterday.
Really?
So look, this is a game for 2 to 4 players where it goes from anywhere from sort of 10, 15 minutes up, depending on how many players and how the dice work. But essentially, it's a card and dice Mexican wrestling game where players are competing to be the champ. And it's all about being the last person standing by basically kicking everyone else's butt, reducing their health to zero, and claiming that title belt, which, you know, we're all after. Now, the way it works, really simply, is at the start of the game, everyone just gets 4 dice. You also get to have one of the action cards each, which you'll use during the game. And really, all you're doing is you're rolling dice, trying to get 3 of the same result. You're either trying to get healing or damage.
Yep.
That's pretty much it. So you're rolling your dice, you get 2 rerolls, so a maximum of 3 rolls to get, you know, the options you have are 2 damage, 1 damage, 1 healing, 2 healing, and that's about it.
Yeah.
But then all you do is you say, Mark, I don't like you, I'm going to attack you, I'm going to give you 2 damage, and I might back that up with an action card,
yes.
Where if I'm going to play a damage-dealing card, I can only use that if I've dealt you damage. So I can't have an absolutely diabolical roll and say, I'm still going to play this card that gives you 3 damage. On the other hand, you can always use your healing whenever you want to. So if you want to have a bit of a, I'm going to skip this round and just recover a bit of health, then you just heal in that and you can use a card that'll allow you to heal some extra benefits, I guess. You know, just make your guy a little bit stronger, last a little bit longer. Now, the thing that I like is it's got a bit of the, I guess, King of Tokyo mechanic in that there is the title belt. Now, the title belt is essentially the champ. It is a permanent special ability of +1 damage every time you're going to do some damage.
Yep.
But the risk of having that is that you cannot heal. So it's very King of Tokyo in that when you're in Tokyo, you can't heal. It's exactly the same. If you are going to be that title belt holder, you just can't heal and you're going to have the smackdown delivered time and time and time again. And you've only got 20 health to play with.
And the title belt, from what I remember, because I've only played this game once, you've played it a couple more times, it's like a foil card, isn't it?
It is.
So it's like nice and shiny.
It looks really cool.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, this game raised about $7,500. So it's not an exploding kittens in that it raised, you know, tens of millions of dollars. But I think what Al's done with the quality of the card and especially the title belt, it looks really good.
Yeah.
You know, this game was really quite cheap to buy. I think it was only about 20 odd bucks, which included postage.
And the art is really nice, very much in the style of
very
the
thematic.
The lucha libres, the Mexican wrestlers.
Yeah, exactly right. It is exactly in that style. And I think that's really cool. It adds a lot of sort of theme to this game.
Mm.
The cards, you know, they'll deal extra damage. They'll allow you to heal more. They'll allow you to steal some action cards from someone else. They'll allow you to take opponents' cards and, you know, just mess around with them a little bit more. It's a lot of fun for my kids. They love it.
Yeah.
You know, my kids love King of Tokyo. My kids love Suro. My kids enjoy this for 20 minutes, half an hour as well, which is really, really cool. They also love the next game that we're going to talk about. What adds a little bit of a different dimension is there's also some main event cards. Now, these, like, it's recommended if you've played it a couple of times to add it in. I think most of us could probably add it in from the start because it's you just choose one of the 3 at the start. And it's just a permanent game-altering effect. It might say every time you deal damage, you have +1 attack, or you can roll all 4 die, and the 4th die always counts in your result as well. Or every time you play an action card, you've got to take a bit of damage. So it's just adding a little bit of something different.
And there are characters, aren't there, as well? You get to pick your character, do they?
There are.
Do they have differences? I can't remember.
Yeah, they do. So they're all double-sided.
Ah, yes.
You know, which we love around here. So they've got the standard side, or they've got the advanced rules on one side, which is basically a once-per-game special ability. So, you know, you might flip that to recover a certain amount of health, or you might flip it to use a super strong attack or something like that. So it's really, you go around and you're rolling plenty of dice, trying to give the smackdown on everyone else. The last thing that I think is just a little bit different is that you've also got tag team. So,
really?
Very much in the theme of, you know, just a massive brawl. You can play it in pairs where you have a set sort of order in the way that you go, but your life still is your own. I've only got your 20 hit points between each one.
So but you don't combine them or anything like in the two-headed giant magic star?
No, and you're just trying to lay the smack down on the other two people.
Mm.
I think, again, for what it is, which, you know, it's not a Twilight Struggle. It's a fun, light dice game.
Yeah.
I think it's a lot of fun. Similar, I would certainly start the night with this, or I'd finish the night with this.
Yeah.
Because what I like about this that I don't like about Exploding Kittens is there isn't just a lull. You know, it's just constant. I think, you know, with this game, you've got to be wary that it'll go longer if you're all being nice.
Yes.
And you say, okay, I'm going to hit you for 2 points, and then the next turn, oh, you're a bit low, so I'm not going to attack you, and I'll go for the next player. If you play this the way we should, which is as bastards, and just kill everyone.
Bastardos!
Exactly right. As soon as you know that they're a bit weak, the game will go a lot quicker, you'll have a lot more fun, have a couple of cervezas along the way, and you will be fine.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Right. We've got one more to talk about. Well, another Aussie Kickstarter.
Yeah, just before, there's one other thing that I wanted to mention. Al's going to be at PAX.
Oh, yes.
So he's going to be sharing a booth with 93 Made Games.
Oh.
They will also have a special guest, one David Harding,
Oy.
Who we know from Grail Games.
Grail Games.
And if you happen to be going to PAX, 3 p.m. on the Saturday, there is an official PAX El Luchador Fantastico Grande tournament.
And they've got prizes?
Of course they do.
Fantastico.
What they are, I don't know. It could be a can of Coke, or it could be a copy of the game, or it could be anywhere in between.
Brilliant. Well, look, let's go to a track, and we'll come back and talk about more games.
That was the Submarine Song by the Stoics, another Tassie band.
Ooh.
So it's good to see them playing some more music. Now, Mark, you're going to talk to us about the last game we've played this week.
Absolutely. And look, it's another great Aussie game. It's another Kickstarter hit. We even talked to this guy. We had a great interview with Kim Brabach.
A great interview, Mark.
It was a great interview that I did. Yes, that's right. with Kim from Secret Base Games. And this game, of course, I'm sure many of you know it. It's Monstrous. It's the card dexterity game of wrathful Greek gods. Now, if you've been hanging around us for a while, pity you, but you might have seen our video where we were playing it at BorderCon. We took a copy of this, thanks to Secret Base Games, to BorderCon with us. We played it with kids. We played it with adults. We played it in our hotel room before we got there. We rolled it out a lot across the weekend, and it was a big hit with everyone. Huge shout out to some of the artists, Jeff Brown, Ben Nelson, one of the organizers of Concentric. Mm-hmm. He did the graphic design,
I think. Yep.
Really great art in this game. As I said, it's about Greek gods and monsters, funnily enough, with the name. Came out this year. 2 to 8 players it plays, and it plays really well with a high number of players as well. In fact, probably it's one of those games, the more the merrier.
Mm-hmm.
As we said, it's a dexterity game where you're throwing cards onto the tabletop. And the cards all have different abilities, and depending on what other cards they hit, they do stuff.
Yeah.
And you get your victory points. Anyway, they've got another name, but they're victory points. And then you can bring out your legendary creatures, one of which, of course, is the Kraken, where all players throw out tentacle cards and it basically clears the table. So look, there's not a lot to this game, but for a dexterity game, it's actually got a depth of, I don't know if I want to say strategy, but tactics to it.
Well, I would say there is a fair bit of strategy to it based on the cards that you want to choose to throw. Because what you've got is you're always going to choose 5 locations that you'll put out on the table.
Yeah, and there's quite a few, isn't there?
There is. There's quite a few. And they do have suggested clumps of 5 depending on what style of game you want to play, whether it want to be a quick, medium, or long. It also has one that includes Tartarus, which is the location that will bring out the legendary monsters. But the more the strategy for me comes with the cards that you're going to have in your hand. Because you're only ever going to have 3 cards to choose from of all your vengeful creatures. They are double-sided again, which is awesome. They all have a basic side, which essentially means if you throw them, you will get 1 point if you hit a monster or 1 point if you hit a location.
Mm-hmm.
But then they've got the other side, which is their unique ability depending on what the actual monster itself is.
Yeah, and it can make you take cards off the board. There's the sort of the trap type monsters that actually, if you hit them, normally you want to hit other cards, but if you hit these trap type cards, it does bad stuff to you.
Exactly right. There's only about 3 of those. There's Medusa and there's 2 other ones that I can't think of. But yeah, you want to
Testicles.
You want to get those down to the table early so that they're there, ready for other people to hit them.
Yes.
Because as soon as someone hits your card, you're going to be taking cards from them. You're going to be getting points, all of that kind of stuff.
So, look, I have really enjoyed this. As I said, I played it a few times at BorderCon. Not since then, because our copy seems to have disappeared, Garth.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll tell us what you've been doing with it. But, look, I have really enjoyed it. I'm not usually a dexterity game guy. I have enjoyed Tok Tok Woodman, or Tik Tok Tarkine, as we call it here in Tasmania. But apart from that, really, I don't really enjoy dexterity games this much, but I did really enjoy this one. As I said, there is a level of strategies you mentioned, but you can really play it with anyone. That's one of the things that I have loved about it. And I'm really excited. We haven't heard much since our interview, but Sucre-based games have got another amazing game, apparently, that Kim teased in that interview. I'm really hanging out to see that one, because that one sounds right up my
alley. Yeah, well, that's certainly a bit more
right
deep.
Up my alley.
Definitely. But look, the reason you haven't been playing is I've been playing it with my daughter particularly. I played it with the whole family on the weekend, so there was four of us around this table throwing it. I even got my other half involved, which the only other game I've got her to play is Sushi Go, so that's a big start.
Wow, yeah.
But yeah, my daughter, she loves this game. It will be her go-to now, because she just loves flicking the cards. The damn thing wins as well, and I'll give her credit to that, and I'm not throwing the game
too
much.
This is her 4-year-old.
She's my 4. She's almost 5.
Wow.
She loves the art. She loves the monsters. She loves setting it up on the table. But I must say, when we had all four of us playing the other weekend, it was only like 3 days ago.
Yes.
We had the table covered with cards.
Oh, fantastic.
And that just looks so cool.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. I mean, did we mention the art? I mean, just like the oatmeal, the art in this is really, really nice. That Cyclops card that's on the box, you know, the 3D look of the cards, they've done a great job of the ancient Greece theme. Now this, I know we were lucky because obviously we got a pre-release version. I think backers have just started to receive their copies, is that right?
Yeah, I think it's pretty close. So I haven't seen anyone with copies yet. We've got a few people here in Tassie who I know back the game based on our amazing reviews and insights. But what you can also do is, if you were a bit silly and didn't back it, you can go onto Secret Base Games websites and now do a pre-order for the Kickstarter version as well. So it's a little bit more than what you would have paid if you backed it.
Yes.
But you get the Kickstarter edition, which, you know, is a big deal for a lot of people.
And look, I do believe, I'm trying to remember back to that interview, and let's face it, I am old and my memory is shot, but I'm pretty sure that Kim told us about a distribution deal with, and one of the things that was a little bit tricky about it on Kickstarter is it didn't show up as an Australian Kickstarter because of
Good Games USA.
That's right, USA are involved with it, which is, I believe, they've got some distribution happening out in stores. So it's fantastic to see yet another Australian games company getting out there in the world. I know Al from Senyak Games, I believe he's got some distribution happening.
NDA, Mark.
Oh,
NDA.
Okay,
yeah.
Not allowed to say
anything.
Look, it's great to see these Australian games doing well. Exploding Kittens, I can believe you can buy it off the website.
There are 220,000 copies out there in the world. You can pick one up. You must be able to get one.
I was going to say $2 on eBay, yeah. I reckon. It's going to be like that. In fact, I'm probably going to give my copy away.
Yep.
But look, there are two great games and a game that we've got from Kickstarter recently. I'll tell you what, just arrived in the post to me the other day. I haven't even broken it out of the wrap. Is Motonai from Carl Chudik. Supposedly, it's the spiritual successor to Glory to Rome. So I'm really excited to break that one out.
You've also got Matcha.
Yeah, which is not a Kickstarter game.
No.
But it's, we mentioned already, David Harding from Grail Games. It's a game they're bringing out, designed by David, actually.
Excellent.
And Grail Games has got a lot of stuff happening. Have you got any Kickstarters coming?
Yeah, I have. I got the Nothing Personal expansion, which I only ordered 18 months ago, so that was really cool. I've got the Gallerist on its way, which should be in the next month, which is the Vital Lacerda designer of Kanban coming on, which, look, it's about art galleries, which, you know, maybe it's not for everyone, but it looks awesome. I watched a couple of Rado videos. He loves it. And, you know, I'm getting more and more into this heavy Euro-style gamer, so I reckon I'll like this one.
Well, look, one of the first games I ever played was Masterpiece.
Yep.
Remember that mass market game with the famous paintings? And there was also a Rainer Knizia card game from earlier this century, I think. Can't think what it's called. Yeah. That had modern art. That's what it's called. Funny that, because it had modern art in it. Yeah, it's very ho-hum.
That's right. I've still got two more. I've got Entropy.
Oh, yes.
From Rule and Make.
Yes.
And then Guns and Steel, which is the other one that's...
Grail Games.
Grail Games. So it's Australia Kickstarter crazy town at the
Fantastic.
Moment.
Fantastic. Well, look, we're going to come back and talk about the other place that's been crazy town lately. That is Indianapolis, mm-hmm. the home of gaming, according to people who live in Indianapolis. We, of course, know that the home of gaming is Hobart. But we're going to talk about Gen Con
yep.
right after this break. That was Pandora's Box by Mayhem and Me, another Tassie act here on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. You're with the Dice Men Cometh, Mark and Garth, talking of Pandora's Boxes. Lots of boxes were opened at in Indianapolis, as we mentioned.
They were.
The home of Gen Con.
Definitely. So Gen Con, or as they say, the best 4 days in gaming.
Ooh.
Trademark. I have to say the trademark, otherwise I might get, you know, I don't know, sued or something.
Do you know why it's
called... Is that what they do in America?
Do you know why it's called Gen Con?
Because it is generally conventional.
No. The very first one was not in Indianapolis. It was in a place called Lake Geneva.
Well, there you go.
And that's where Gen Con came from. But now I think they're up to 20, 30... It's been a lot of Gen Cons. It's not quite Super Bowl.
Would you like me to tell you?
Yeah, go.
Because I spent,
oh, you're the one who did the research.
I spent some time doing research on this. So it is held in Indianapolis. Indianapolis. It's actually in its 48th year mark, Woo! Which is similar to some other things, like you.
Yes, 48 years.
So you could have been conceivably conceived at the first Gen Con. Who knows?
Maybe.
There you go.
Maybe it was.
It has had a record-setting attendance now.
I was found in a box.
Oh, God. This one... Now, I was listening to one of our episodes a couple of weeks ago. It was actually someone's last ever show.
Yes.
Because this particular person did mention Gen Con. The little bit of information that he did manage to scrounge around was that...
In a half-assed way.
Exactly right. Is that it had 61,423 unique entries.
Wow.
Turning that into a turnstile attendance of almost 200,000, 197,000 people. So over 61,000 unique visitors who then seemingly went at least three times each.
Yes.
It's its sixth year of consecutive growth, which is fantastic. And it's actually doubled in size in terms of attendance since 2010.
Wow.
So it's massive, massive expansion.
Anyone would think there was a board gaming renaissance happening.
I know, the golden age. Again, someone mentioned a couple of weeks ago that there was over 400 exhibitors, which was a little bit of a milestone.
Yes.
They had been hovering around the mid to high 300s. And it generates over $67 million into the annual economy of Indiana. So this is not a small thing. There were people from more than 40 countries. Every single state in the USA was represented by people there. So it is very a US-centric, but yes. also becoming a massive global event.
By
which is
any
awesome.
Stretch of the imagination, there's a whole lot of gaming going on there, that's for sure.
Is there ever? But what I like about it is that it caters for everyone. There's dedicated family areas. There's playtesting halls for people to get their games out there.
Mm-hmm.
There was around about 15,000 events happening over those 4 days.
Wow.
So it's just mammoth. There were costume and cosplays. There was art shows for board game illustrators.
Oh, really?
So that's really cool for someone like you who is so into their art over the quality of, I don't know, Exploding Kittens. There was also a beer garden.
Oh.
Lots of panels and seminars. And then there was True Dungeon.
I say True Dungeon
yeah.
is always talked about.
Exactly right. So
it's a massive thing. And it's funny because it's... I don't know whether it's caused, but, you know, you've now got this explosion of these escape rooms
yeah.
everywhere. And True Dungeon, I don't know if it was the first, but it's certainly probably the most well-known of that sort of
yeah, well,
live,
it's almost
like live-action role-playing in a room.
Exactly right.
Or
this is a series of rooms. So you progress along, you know, completing different challenges. You go in as a group and someone's a wizard and someone's a warrior and someone's a cleric. And I guess on a really grand scale, it's sort of dexterity in that warriors have to flick discs down
a shuffleboard
kind of thing.
Yeah.
And if you're a wizard, you have to remember certain combinations of feathers and all this kind of stuff to, yes. to progress. You can even be a bard and, you know, maybe have to sing a bit. Yeah, look, it's massive. It sells out year on year on year.
Mm.
And it's almost a full-time job for the guy who created this. He's got an army of volunteers. So it's mammoth. It's really huge.
I have a feeling, and I remember a few different podcasts, they've gone and done it, and it's one of the things that sells out in like the first hour where tickets go on sale.
Exactly. Yeah. Next to no time. It is one of those, you got to go there and you've got to do this. So that's really, really cool. That's a little bit of a snapshot about what it is. Let's get to some gaming news.
Oh, yes.
Because that's what we all care about.
Yes.
Now, this is in no particular order, I must say, although I am going to end with the Geek Buzz, which is the top 10 games as ranked by people who went there and had a look at them.
Yeah, okay.
So we'll finish with the, you know, the creme de la creme. So, some news. Upper Deck Entertainment announced legendary Big Trouble in Little China.
Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, they've got the superheroes.
Yep.
They've got the alien.
They do.
They've got the predator one.
Yeah, which can then become aliens versus predators.
So where and traditionally Upper Deck has done like football cards, and NFL cards, and trading cards. Big Trouble in Little China. I mean, if it was Escape from New York, Escape from LA, any other Snake Plissken movie that you can name, I could understand. But Big Trouble in Little China.
All right. Well, let me sort of tempt you with another one, because they're also in 2016 going to be releasing Legendary Encounters Firefly.
Yes!
So, you know, you can live the dream there, Mark.
Brown coats.
Exactly right. Now, 2015 is actually Fantasy Flight's 20th anniversary, which I didn't realise until
amazing.
I was doing a bit of research on this. So they started, obviously, 20 years ago.
1995,
or something like that, as a comics-based company. And they've sort of progressed and migrated into what is now a behemoth in our hobby. So they've released, I guess their big news was the new edition of Runebound, which is going to be coming out, which slightly alters the combat mechanics, and that's pretty massive. A lot of Star Wars Imperial Assault, including the first big boxing expansion, which is the Return to Hoth. So that'll be really exciting. Now, that's probably a game we haven't played enough.
Yeah.
We've certainly got plenty of people who've played it.
I wonder if that'll mean, because in the original one, you've got the
AT-STs. Mm.
In Hoth, they had the big four-legged beasties.
Indeed.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
Big, big box expansion there. They've obviously got a whole bunch of little stuff as well that they're releasing. And then there was also Warhammer Quest, the adventure card game, which doesn't sound at all like Pathfinder,
yes,
the adventure card game.
That's right.
But again, I know we've talked about this plenty of times. There's never enough Warhammer, is there?
Well, people love that
they
stuff.
They do. It'll sell. And obviously with the backing of Fantasy Flight, it'll sell in the squillions. Portal Games, one of our favourite designers.
Ah, Ignace.
Yeah, look, he had a massive hit last year with Imperial Settlers.
Yes.
They sort of did the re-release of the Atlanteans expansion, which is, you know, the fifth race that joins that one, where essentially, unlike all the other races where the cards stay on the table, there's disappear. So it requires a little bit of a different structure in how you build your tableau in terms of, you know, victory points at the end, I guess.
And I have heard that he's got a new expansion coming out, Imperial Settlers Revenge of the Sith.
Anyway, he's also released another game, Rattle, Battle and Loot, which is a pirate card/dice game where you're all competing pirates to grab loot. You can upgrade your little pirate ship, rolling dice combinations, all of that kind of thing. We might be able to find out a little bit more. I don't know, if I do some research, that'd be cool.
If only we could do an interview with him.
Wow.
Garth, there's something for you
to
do.
Yeah, well, we'll see what magic we can have happen. Who knows? Then, check Games Editions. Look, obviously,
Vlada,
who's, you know, he knows how to design a game. Release was the Prodigals Club.
Yes.
Which is sort of in the same universe as Last Will. So you're all playing businessmen trying to basically destroy your businesses. Also, Through the Ages, a new story of civilization, which is the fourth edition.
Oh.
Now, I mentioned this last week.
Yeah, in an app.
In the app. So, you know, they're trying to get the physical release out. They did a bit of a soft launch. It's going to be coming out in Germany in a month's time. That's the hope.
Yes.
So that was a pretty amazing one. They also had another game, which was pretty much universally regarded as the game of the con. We'll talk about that in a moment. Bruno, our mate Bruno, released and played and did a lot of work with the Five Tribes Artisans of Nagala, adding a sixth tribe to Five Tribes. So adding also some few different cards and walls that you can build.
Did that take it from four players to five players with the sixth tribe?
Oh, I can't count that high. We had our mates at Stronghold Games who released their Space Cadets Away missions, which is their minis-based version of Space Cadets, which looks really fantastic. The minis look really pretty, and it's obviously works in the same universe as your existing Space Cadets games, which will be a lot of fun.
And did they just release the version of Survive Escape from Atlantis in a space version?
They did, and that's due to be released October, November this year. I was on their website last night, and yeah, it's going to be coming out soon. They also have released a second edition of Stronghold, which is pretty universally accepted to be a great game. Looks fantastic on the table as well. And then 504 by Friedman Fries. So that was released again. We've talked about that briefly before. Cool Mini or Not, who... You know, I think as their name suggests, they focus on the minis and maybe not so much of a game. But
and
they
many
had
of those huge Kickstarter campaigns.
Yeah, but they had a bit of a hit with Blood Rage by Eric Lang, who Quarriors and Dice Masters and
Leon's back this one. That's the
right.
Viking mini war fighting tactical game.
That's right. So that's obviously going to be hitting Tasmanian shores whenever Leon gets his copy. So that will be fantastic, no doubt, in terms of, I guess, feedback. It's been getting a lot of really positive reviews, which is awesome. Tasty Mintral Games, who we played one of their games recently, Flip City. Yes. That was one of the things they released. They've also released three other games called Gold West, which is sort of your Wild West, I guess, resource game.
Yes.
Steamworks, steampunk, mechanical. You try and build a little bit of a machine and get that happening. And then Dungeon of Fortune, which I don't know if you know Dungeon Roll, which is a little Kickstarter that came out a couple of years ago. Basically, you're rolling dice, create your party. Basically, it's in the same space. It's turning what was a dice rolling game into card-driven.
Oh, really?
So they're saying it's a little bit more in-depth, a bit more strategy.
Okay.
Who knows if it needs to be like that. My kids love Dungeon Roll. I picked it up on eBay for like $15.
Yes.
Awesome. Cryptozoic, look, again, not necessarily known for really, really cool games, but they are talking about, and they have released photos and what have you, of Portal, the uncooperative acquisition game. So that'll
based
have a lot
on
of
the
people.
Video game.
Yeah, that'll have a lot of people. It's a uncooperative game where you're trying to get the cake, you're trying to screw over everyone in the Portal sphere, which I'll be really interested to see how this actually plays on the board. I've seen photos. I don't know if it's going to be like a Robo Rally style thing. Is it going to be, I don't know, blind bidding? Who knows?
Oh, look, it looks really sweet, though. It's got little minis for those little turrets.
Yeah, yeah, and you'll have your companion cube with you, no doubt. Then we had Modiphius Entertainment, who were talking about their Thunderbirds edition by Matt Laycock, which, you know, is going to be massive, of course,
absolutely.
And was an enormous Kickstarter success. Then you had a little company called Hasbro and Wizards of the Coast who were talking about their Magic the Gathering Arena of the Planeswalkers board game.
Oh,
so,
the Magic board game,
yeah. Yeah, which, again, is a bit of a modular board game. It's obviously taking the mechanics and the, I guess, the creation of in the magic sphere and turning that into a board game.
Yeah.
It almost seems to be a bit like Mage Knight in that it's a modular board style. You find people try and get resources, claim the best territory, kill people. Z-Man Games released Apocalypse Chaos, which is a cooperative, you're in a spaceship trying to defeat the bad guys. It's a 3D board, so it actually has your base level and then a second tier, and that's something a little bit different. Compresses a lot of game into an otherwise relatively small box.
It sounds like that Vallada game whose name has completely escaped me. What is it called?
No.
You know the one, the cooperative space one with the soundtrack?
No, it's not that.
No, but it sounds similar. Well,
yeah, no, well, it's not. And Space Alert, isn't it?
That's the one,
Yeah, and then a game that caught my eye, and it's been sort of hovering around the top of the hotness, is Serious Pulp's game called The Seventh Continent, which you're all adventurers. Thematically, you've been cursed. You've got to go and explore this continent to sort of, I guess, clear yourself of the curse.
Yes.
You've got a massive tableau of cards that will come out over the course of the game. The video I was watching said that a completed game, the board will be possibly as large as 2 meters square.
Oh, my goodness.
Because they're all little cards about the size of, a coaster, and you start on one, and you say, I want to adventure that way, and you draw some cards, and that goes there, and you can expand this out. So those are all the big games, except what was the Geek Buzz. So this, as I say, was voted by everyone who went there, who then decided to vote, based on numbers.
So this is the top 10?
Top 10. Okay. So I'll start with...
Let me interrupt you there, because...
All right.
We need to throw to a track, otherwise people fall asleep if we talk too long.
Oh, seriously?
But no, we're going to come
so
back.
Interesting.
We're going to come back with the highlight of the show.
Okay.
The top 10 Geek Buzz from Gen Con, coming up shortly. LL Cool J, he's going back to Cali. You're with Edge Radio, 99.3 FM, with the Iceman Cometh, Mark and Garth. We're not going back to Cali, we're going back to Indianapolis.
Yeah.
For It's time for the top 10. Countdown of the top 10 Geek Buzz board games at Gen Con.
Wowzers. Do you carry that USB around, like, just
always,
permanently?
Always.
Yeah? Is that... just bringing it out when you're on a date or something?
Just in case. Oh, yeah. you want to play some music?
No, yeah, no, no, no. So, number 10 on the Geek Buzz was a game called Above and Below. Ooh. By Red Raven Games. Now, this was on Kickstarter a little while ago. And look, the mechanic of it or the theme of it is your villages were all destroyed by barbarians. You've got to go and create one. Your village just happens to be right near a series of caves. So you're creating a village at the top. So they describe it as a town building / storytelling game, because you're trying to build your town and then you're also exploring the caves, and you've got a little bit of a worker placement thing going on where you can say, I'm going to put my worker here to do this to get some resources, or when you get a little bit more into it, you say, I'm going to go and explore the caves and get something really, really exciting. When that happens, there is a book of paragraphs which says... Another player reads, and they say, this is what's happening when you're underground. Tell me how you're going to get through it based on the people that you've brought with you.
Wow.
And there is basically then you have to figure out how you're going to react, how you're going to handle the scenario, whether you're fighting the monster or finding the resources or having something bad happen.
So it's like a Caverna combined with this Tales of the Arabian Nights.
Well, yeah, it's not Caverna at all. It's a bit of dice play, card play, but it just mixes a couple of different things. And the art is a really nice. It does. So that's the closest we'll get to Caverna. It's got some really nice, simplistic, cartoony style art that looks great. Then we had Bad Beats by Stoneblade Entertainment, which is just a little fast bluffing game. Essentially, you get 8 cards and you are trying to eat your food. Each card is a bit of food. You're trying to be the first person to get rid of all your cards by whatever means possible. Ooh. Being eating your beets or whatever it is.
Yes.
Playing a card that says, I'm feeding it to the dog. Playing another card that says, I'm giving it to another player.
I thought you were talking about bad beets like your music collection.
Not mine. Mine, Mark. Outrageous. Anyway. So the way it works is that you play the card face down. You do the action. And then they say, nah, that was just a load of crap.
Yeah.
And you're lying. Then we had New York 1901, which is kind of like building the early New York.
Oh.
You're trying to build the biggest skyscraper. Yeah. That was by Blue Orange Games. You had Ashes, Rise of the Phoenix Born, which is by Isaac Vega, who was on Dead of Winter.
Yeah.
So good game by Plaid Hat. 2-player expandable card game. You're all trying to become the biggest god by devouring the ashes of other people to be god and not normal. Flick 'em Up, which is a little Wild West game by Pretzel Games. It's kind of like the Wild West flicking.
I was going to say, with a dexterity, element.
Then we had the English edition of Mysterium. We played it, okay. I'm not going to try and pronounce the guy's names who made it again, but that was a bit of fun. Ninja Camp, a little bit of a card game. You're all at camp for ninjas. You want to be the one who the sensei chooses at the end.
Not camp ninjas.
No, not camp ninjas at all. Ninja Camp. Then an expansion for the game Heroes Wanted. So Heroes Wanted, the stuff of legend. Now, this game is essentially, you're an everyday guy. The heroes of the town are recruiting. You want to go out there and do what you can to join them.
I do.
So you're going to go and fight all the bad guys. The interesting thing about this is you're creating a hero with 2 cards. So there are a whole bunch of cards with the top half of a hero, a whole bunch with the second half, and you combine and create weird, wacky power combinations. So this is an expansion for that. You choose your hero, choose a villain, choose a scenario, and then whoever wins. We then get into number 2, which is Monarch by Mary Flanagan, self-published, but she was one of the designers, with Zara Downs and Max Seidman. It's basically a set collection game. Your mum, who happens to be the queen, is about to choose who's going to take over her reign. You have to impress her by establishing the best court, and you're trying to, you know, create the largest court that might have, you know, advisors, exotic animals, regalia, all of that kind of stuff. The interesting part of it is the cards all work or don't work against each other. So if you've got this type of advisor doesn't allow this type of wild animals and so on. So a bit of a set collection game.
So for an indie game, that one sounded like it created a lot of buzz.
It did. Well, it got the second most amount of buzz behind, and a very distant behind, Codenames, which was, again, the Vlada party spy game that is just everywhere. Everyone's playing it. Everyone's loving it. And they're not just playing it once. They're playing it a dozen different times, which is awesome. There's a fantastic companion app. We'll get the hard copy as soon as we can. But it is so much fun, and it won Gen Con. It was just the far and away the winner.
Fantastic. Well, hopefully we'll get to that one shortly. Well done, Garth. You did do the final countdown. But I'm not going to play that track anymore.
No, thank you very much.
And we've managed to squeeze it all in just before time We were going to talk about something special, but we're not even going to talk about it.
No, that's
although we talked about
it
in the intro. We're going to bring it back next week because that's how good it is. It's worth waiting for.
Is it ever?
So you've been with the Dice Men Cometh, Mark and Garth. We're going to be back again next Thursday with more gaming goodness. In the meantime, play lots of games. Look after each other. Ask, are you okay? Because I think it's are you okay
today. I think
it is
our okay. Are you okay, Mark?
Are you okay, Garth?
I'm always okay.
I'm great.
Excellent.
Okay. Let's get out of here. See you next week.
Bye.
This has been an edit of The Dice Men Cometh from Edge Radio 99.3 FM, Hobart's independent youth station. Find us on Facebook and edgeradio.org.au.